What's going on, everyone? Neil here for another episode of the podcast. I got a special guest on, Chris. What's going on, Chris? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Neil? Thanks for having me on.
Chris Bergerthon. Is that how I say your last name?
Yep.
Nailed it. What's the worst way someone's butchered that?
Oh, man. I could tell you. Growing up, it was Boogerthon or Hamburgathon. Or just last week, somebody told me it sounded like a fundraiser.
Eat as many burgers as you can until
you pass out. I like that one. I'm going to say that one.
That's a good one. Chris has a super interesting backstory. He's known on Twitter as, I think, Car Wash Guy.
It's
one of the guys. Yeah, he's posts awesome content. We connected there and I loved his story, so I wanted to bring him on the podcast to chat. So Chris, I'm going to kick it off to you. I'd love to hear more about your background. Maybe start like with a big overview and let's narrow down to what you're actually doing now.
Yeah. So bought my first business in 2003 with an SBA loan. I bought a little excavation company in Denver and it was like three guys and a couple pieces of equipment. And it was total baptism by fire. I was not born with an entrepreneurial bone like most entrepreneurs were. I feel like I had to learn it the hard way. And,
but Chris, excavation company sounds like I'm imagining you like a one of those guys like digging up fossils and be like, look what I have found. Is that what this was?
It was actually usually backed up sewer lines. So okay. It was the least glamorous thing you could ever imagine. We would literally dig into these sewer lines and they would be overflowing with poop. So it was the ugliest business you could imagine. But I had a background in construction and, you know, frankly, didn't have a lot of money to invest. So I was able to grow the top line on that business from 180 to 2.6, but it just about killed me. It was like total stress. I built this big flat organization where everybody reported to me and I didn't have anybody in between me and the frontline people really. And it was just like this, just big ball of stress. I was like spending 5,000 minutes a month on my phone and driving 50,000 miles a year on a pickup truck. It was just super,
jeez.
It was unsustainable. And I met the woman that I eventually married who became my wife. And she just really showed me how miserable I was. She was like, why are you working like this? This is insane, you know? So sold that business and we literally just like moved off the grid, moved into a solar and wind powered home in the mountains of Colorado. And I started selling solar equipment online, found Red 4-Hour Work Week, which was seminal for me and a lot of people. Yeah. And realized that I could live anywhere because I was literally living in the middle of nowhere and there weren't a lot of business opportunities. So the internet was really my escape hatch. And so bought a website that was all about solar and started filling it with content and put an e-com store on it and all this stuff and did that for quite a while and had a kind of a health crisis during this time. I had gluten allergies and dairy allergies and all this stuff. And at the time, medical doctors had no clue what to do about this stuff. I went to probably 10 different doctors and specialists. They had no idea how to deal with gluten or even a lot of them didn't even know what gluten was. This is like 2007 or so. And so I had to figure this out kind of on my own with the naturopath and everything. So I got really deep into natural medicine. And I started taking these supplements and I realized that the supplements were either inferior and affordable or really good and too expensive. And so started digging into that industry and realized that you could have somebody make this stuff for you that was really a very qualified lab could make the supplements for you. And then I could market them. So I learned marketing and copywriting and built a supplements company that we're now in our 12th year. We started in about 2011.
Oh, wow.
And so that company's up to about a $16 million company and
Jeez.
Sort of as an adjunct to that is this email newsletters and this online marketing company. So that's kind of my main gig. I'm car wash guy on Twitter, but I spend the majority of my time researching health problems and natural remedies for those health problems. So when I talk to people like you, they're like, wait, I thought you were car wash this 24/7.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm mostly health supplements and helping people feel better without prescription drugs. And then my side hustle is car washes. So,
dude, so, okay. We got a lot to dissect here. That's an incredible overview. That was a lot. Yeah, I love that. Chris, I think people listening might think, okay, wait a second. You did this business, you kind of got burnt out, and then all of a sudden you have like a multi-million dollar supplement business. Right. How does this progression go? So you mentioned you like read 4-hour work week and then
right.
That got like all of a sudden you became a digital guy. Like, how does that just happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I was forced to, because we moved up into the mountains and started living off the grid. And my intention was to, I came from the construction background and I was getting into real estate more and more. My intention was to start building custom homes. And this, you know, that was about 2008. And mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a worse time in history to start building custom homes. 2008 yeah. was in the top yeah. five yeah. of worst times.
Right after sure. like the 1930 Great Depression era.
Exactly. Exactly.
You just hit it.
Yeah. Like maybe I could have sold tents easier, you know, to people who were getting foreclosed on their homes. So it was a wake up call. I had a bank sort of green light this property I was going to build on. And they said Friday afternoon, they were like, hey, come in Monday. We'll sign a bunch of paperwork. Monday I show up and they're like, basically told me to go away. We have no interest in these developments anymore. No interest in your business. And so that was a wake up call. And so I had to really find something new to do. And I picked up this book, which was red hot at the time, the 4-hour work week. And it showed me that, here's something you can do. So that's, and then progressed. I had a solar website and started selling informational products, and it just sort of organically changed into a supplement business. It was kind of random how that came about.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people's path after reading 4-Hour Workweek. Like when I got started, I was private equity cubicle, read 4-Hour Workweek, and I'm like, oh my God, I go on these blogs of like, how do I work remotely around the world? And you see this guy on a laptop on the beach and you think, I want that. That's what I want to do. And you read like, okay, how do I do this? And back then, I don't think this is the case now. Be like microblogging, affiliate websites, drop shipping. Like a lot of these things just don't work as well anymore. But that's what I read and that's what I tried. But I think that's a great first foray into online businesses. And for me, it was like, I always call this the money milestone. Is that moment you make that first dollar online and you're like, holy shit, like the world, I could do anything now. Yeah. And I'm sure it was the same for you where you started that first online business. You made that first dollar and you're like, oh my God, I did this from the woods. This is incredible. And it's just like a whole new world after that.
Yeah. The wake up call for me was we were selling solar panels because we lived in the solar home and I learned solar really well, really fast. And so this website I bought selling solar panels, and solar panels are really hard to sell online because the big ones, it's literally like shipping like a big glass window.
Super heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy and they're very, very awkward. And so UPS and FedEx don't like them. They break all the time. And so what I realized is that most people were really interested in my story of living off the grid. And so instead of selling the solar panels, we started selling sort of the picks and shovels and the information. I sold videos of our complete system, how we lived.
Oh, wow.
How we had a wind generator and how all this worked. That sold 10,000 to one as far as, you know, the books to the solar panels were way more popular because, you know, the book was only like $30. So that was my first wake up call to like, people are really, really interested in information. And then my health transformation over those 10 years were very interesting as well. I started blogging and posting and stuff like that. And people invariably were asking, well, where do I get this medicine? Mm. Where can I get this stuff? I have the same problem. I can't find it. This is before before our grocery stores had a whole natural health section, before you could really, this is really when Google was just the Wild West. You couldn't trust most of the information that was on Google. And so we started selling supplements. It was built a little, you know, kind of a separate offshoot from that. And it just took off. It really blew us away how much it caught on.
Yeah. It was making me think, and this sounds like the most mundane realization, but when you sell someone something like solar panels, it's a one-time sell, right? And there's a limited amount of people who could buy it. So you think like, okay, I'm going to sell people information. Like, what does that even mean? And the reality is no one could be like, okay, I have bought information. I no longer want information. Like, it just doesn't exist, right? Like, constantly people have like, they want more information. They're learning things every day. There's just like endless supply because there's endless space in your brain, obviously. Right. And so like, just with that thought, if you think about it, I'm like, man, the information business, unlimited. Absolutely unlimited scale, because there's always something people are going to want to know. And I think the cool part is you build a massive business on top of information selling, which is incredible. Is that what most of your digital assets are now?
Most of our digital assets are, information and the actual supplement products themselves, the pills and powders and capsules and all that stuff. We sell a lot of that. So our business model on that is we try to break even on the front end with selling somebody one of our bottles of supplements. Maybe it's for blood sugar, maybe it's for bladder control. There's a lot of different areas we're in, and then hopefully we actually make the money on the back end with subscriptions and with selling similar products to our newsletter list. So that's kind of the business model there.
Got it. And Chris, what's the supplement company called?
Called Legendary Ventures.
Okay.
And I don't talk about, I was talking about it a lot on Twitter probably like 4 or 5 years ago. There was sort of this e-com tribe there. And it just sort of fizzled out. It's weird. Like the people are still around. They're still in business, but it's just not the hot topic that Retweet and SMB Tweet is. So it's funny how Twitter as a platform has really evolved.
Chris, you're doing all this really cool online stuff. You have an 8-figure vitamin business. Car washes. What's the deal here?
Like, what happened? Like, where did that come from, right? Yeah, it's a funny story. So I have entrepreneurial ADD, like most entrepreneurs do. And I was, over the past 10 years, we've developed this business. And it's very nice. And it frankly doesn't take a ton of time. So it's not a 50 or 60 hour week gig. It's more of a 30 or 40 hour week. And I always like to have something sort of in the side, sort of almost a hobby-like thing. And if it makes money, even better, right? So I was looking for kind of a side hustle. And I tried crypto. And I had an Amazon FBA idea.
Oh, yes. Like everybody 40 years does. Ago.
Yeah. Like everybody's had those moments where like, I'm gonna start a YouTube channel, you know, or whatever it is. And it just, because I was already online, I knew how hard it was to sustain those businesses. They could just be wiped out. Amazon could wipe you out, or Facebook could shut you down, or whatever it was. And I didn't want another business like that. I wanted something more reliable, something that I knew was going to be around in 50 years. So I started looking at commercial real estate. And two, three years ago on Twitter, like self-storage was the hottest thing. Like everybody was buying a self-storage facility. And I looked around at those, and frankly, I kind of followed their path. I started writing letters to owners and everything. And a friend of mine right here in town was very interested too. So we kind of partnered up. We started writing letters, and we just didn't get anywhere. We could not find anybody who wanted to sell their self-storage facility. And in the process of doing that, though, we spoke to a commercial real estate broker, and he was like, hey, check out this car wash. And when I first looked at it, I was like, I don't know anything about this. I don't even know how to value this thing. And no thanks, you know. Came, and then 6 months of, you know, butting our head up against the wall on self-storage, I came back to it, the car wash guy, and I was like, hey, you know, let's talk to these guys. And the more we dug in, we realized that this car wash didn't exist on Google Maps. So if you were looking for a car wash and you were in this neighborhood and you weren't looking right at it, you didn't know it existed. And then we realized they hadn't raised prices in like 10 years. They were way below market prices. It hadn't been modernized. The card readers were all worn out. People were frustrated that they couldn't get their credit cards to work. So we looked at it and we thought, well, gee, if we just move in here and buy this place and just, you know, do the bare minimum, really, for the first 3 months, I think we could really blow this thing up. And so we did. We raised the prices 20 minutes after we closed on the place. We drove over there, figured out how to raise the prices on everything. And then and all we did was raise them to market rates. It's not like we're gouging somebody, you know, it was just, We just raise it to what everybody else was at. And then improve the card readers. We've invested that. That cost about $6,000. And then we put it on Google Maps.
There we go. Which easy.
Which is like the easiest. If you're used to marketing online, you know that like we just did the most basic online marketing.
That's playbook. Literally step one for our franchisees is like, okay, get GMB verified. That's all you got to do today. Yeah.
There you go. So did that. And sure enough, you know, like 3 months in, we had raised the top line, the revenue by 30%. Now we're a year and a half later, we have raised the revenue by about 80%.
Wow.
And we've just improved the customer experience, right? That's really all it took. We got a bunch of five-star reviews organically, and we've just improved the operation. And it really isn't hard with a car wash. People want more soap. So you feed them more soap. You feed them the fancy colors and the fancy smells and everything. So they're when they're in it, they're like, oh, wow, this is I'm really getting a car wash right now. And it took off. So we bought another one in November, and we're looking to roll them up. So the breakthrough moment for me, that aha moment, was last December. I am emailing my accountant and I'm waiting for the bad news. I'm saying, okay, what is my tax bill going to be for 2022? Because, you know, right before the year ends, you got to figure out, am I going to donate a bunch of money? Am I going to, you know, like, how am I going to deal with this big tax bill that's coming? And she wrote me back about an hour later and says, I think you're going to get a refund. And
all right.
I hadn't got a refund in like 12 years. Like I'd have never gotten a refund as an entrepreneur. And I just did that kind of cartoon, like, you know, what was that refund? And called her up and she explained like this bonus depreciation thing. Basically, the car washes have this enormous depreciation allowance. And so I was supposed to owe my business partner on the online stuff. He owed about $250K or something.
Oh, geez.
I would have owed that too, because we're 50-50 partners. But because of the car washes, I didn't owe anything. I got all my back, $0 tax bill. And so after that, I was like, holy cow, I'm the car wash guy.
Yeah. Jeez. And that's any commercial real estate you can get that big of a refund.
Well, no. So this is why car washes are so unique, because most commercial, like even if you bought a storage facility, it's considered passive by the IRS. Now, anybody who owns a storage facility will say, it ain't passive.
Yep.
But the IRS considers just renting, leasing property like you are with a storage facility, or like you are, you know, if you went out and bought a building and Walmart moved into it, if you were just the landlord, that's considered passive. Mm-hmm. But car washes are considered active. And because of that reason, the building and the equipment can be written off under this bonus depreciation.
Got it. It's depreciation.
It just so happens that a car wash, and we fell completely backwards into this. We can't take any credit for being smart about this. But car washes are eligible. And so that's why I'm the car wash guy, because I think it's a fantastic side hustle. If you have a W-2, or if you have a business like you do, Neil, I know you have multiple businesses. It only takes me about 5 hours a week. It takes my partner, it takes him about 5 hours a week, a lot of times less. But it produces fantastic cash flow. We're able to grow the business. We've essentially doubled the value of these two car washes.
Chris, does it take a lot of operations in terms of like you have to manage people, you have to like run out and replace soap? Is it a business?
It is a business. And that's why the IRS considered it active. But we have people in place that manage the day-to-day. They are on site. They're replacing the hoses that burst. They're putting more soap in the soap hopper. They're ordering more soap when we're out of soap. So we have breakfast with those guys. There's three of them now that manage the two operations. And we have breakfast with them every other week. I got a text from one guy this morning saying, hey, I'm ordering more soap. And I'm like, give him the thumbs up emoji.
Yep.
And my partner handles the payroll, which takes, because we have Gusto, that takes about 7 minutes every other week. So it's
relatively minimal.
It's pretty minimal. Now, a lot of people will see this and say, oh, car washes are easy. Of course you can find a nightmare car wash that needs more effort, more input and that kind of thing. But I think you can find low maintenance car washes like we did.
And Chris, if a new entrepreneur is listening to this podcast and says, okay, Chris, you want me to go buy commercial real estate and run a business? Like, I've heard car washes are crazy expensive. You're paying 10 times EBITDA. Like, how can someone afford this as a brand new entrepreneur? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first one we bought was, it is about 10 times EBITDA.
Okay.
And so that one was making about 65K and we bought it for about 650K. And the great thing is that you can get a bank loan very easily on this because the banks love real estate, right?
Because this is not just a business you're buying. It's also
it's not a business. It's got real estate. Yeah. We don't buy the car wash without the real estate. Mm. So banks love to loan on it. So we put down 25% on that first deal. So that was about 100. I want to say it was after fees and everything, it was about 150K. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we bought a second one. And the cash flow from the first one paid a bunch of the down payment for the second one.
Got it.
We put about another 80 in out of our pockets. So all in, I was in about 225 last year. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, I got a tax bill of about 250K that went away. So
yep.
I have my money back already. So you can find smaller car washes. You'll have to put some money down. Obviously, you could get an investor too. But the tax advantages are such that it could pay itself off very quickly.
Chris, do you recommend someone only doing this in their local area, or is this something people could do remotely?
Your first one, I would look locally. Mm-hmm. I would definitely look locally because you want to be involved with this first one. We're building up a system and a method. Policies and procedures, all that stuff, so that we have systems in place so that when we start buying them statewide and then maybe cross state lines, that we have a system in place that we can scale this.
But absolutely.
The first one, it's going to be a lot easier if you can just drive over there.
Yeah. Chris, so, I want to flag something very important of your story, which I think I love the concept of, and I feel like more people are not talking about this, which is taking business cash and putting into something which is higher multiple. So we just talked about this where Chris said, hey, car wash yourself for 10 times EBITDA. That means 10 times the profit of the business. That's a very high amount. Very, very high. Most businesses go for like 3 times EBITDA if they're lucky, if they're local businesses. So what Chris is doing is saying, hey, I'm going to go use the business cash I have for my other business because business is great for cash flow. Most businesses are not great for equity building, in my opinion.
Right. That's absolutely right.
You're taking that and you're putting that into high equity multiple businesses, which is car washes or real estate. I should say business/real estate. Is that the play? Yeah.
That's exactly the play. And you hit on something really important. People look at the EBITDA or the multiples for a car wash and say 10 times EBITDA. That is absurd. Well, that works for you and against you. Mm-hmm. We have just what I told you that we've almost doubled the value of these car washes. Well, we've also doubled or tripled our equity, right? Mm-hmm. Because we put in 25%. Well, now they're almost double. Actually, our equity's like tripled, right?
Yep.
So it works for you and against it. And that's what really turned me on to commercial real estate is when you stop looking at the cap rate or that multiplier that you're talking about, as you stop looking at it as a liability and start realizing that when there's a 10 times EBITDA, every dollar more you get out of the bottom line, you get 10 times out of the value. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely liquid, right? Like you're in my businesses online. You nailed it. 3 times EBITDA. What are the odds that you're really going to sell that business though, right? It's good, but not great. A car wash, it may take a couple of years to sell, but it will sell. It will absolutely sell. Our businesses are even our supplement stuff. Are cut because there is some risk there. People are putting our products in their bodies. Mm-hmm. There is not a huge market to buy supplement business.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we may never be able to sell that business. It may just never sell. I mean, 80% of listed businesses never sell.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. You can talk to any business broker. He'll kind of keep that on the down low.
Yeah.
He doesn't want his customers knowing that that's true. But that's a fact that 80% of listed businesses will never sell.
Jeez. Chris, if someone's listening to this and wants to learn more about the car wash game, turning digital gold into commercial real estate equity. Yeah. How do they do so?
Yeah, look me up on Twitter. Just type in car wash guy. You can see my face with the bright yellow background. And then if you want the car wash playbook, I created a course this spring because I was getting so many questions about it. And so much people just every time I tweeted about this, it just went nuts. And so I created a course. You can get that at taxfreecashcow.com. Taxfreecashcow.com. I've laid it all out there for you. Everything you need to find, buy, and run your first car wash is all there.
Perfect. And we're going to put both Chris's Twitter handle as well as the link to that in the show notes here. Awesome. Chris, thanks so much for hopping on, dude. It was awesome.
Thanks, Neil. This was fun.
Thanks again for listening, guys. There are two ways I could help you out. Number one is with May This Franchise. If you want to get into business but don't want to go at it alone, we have you covered with everything from A to Z. Check out madethisfranchise.com to start your own remote local business. The next is with the Remote Local Blueprint, which is a course I launched to teach you the foundations of starting your own remote local business in any niche. It's do-it-yourself at your own pace, and you can check that out at blueprint.beremotelocal.com.